going to get any more room for the deep now. We're not going to have deep thoughts by the deep now.
We haven't had deep thoughts by the deep in a while. They, like, stopped doing it after, like, last season. So,
which is a shame. But, you know, to be fair, it like, this season, sure. This season he was just that we're not gonna kind of an afterthought.
What was that? Sorry, I missed that.
It was kind of an afterthought this season, really.
Well, he wasn't a main part of this season. That's part of the
problem. He was kind of the way Homelander treated him throughout the season was, yeah, whatever, piss off.
Yeah. It's like, you're my little bitch, go. Yeah. So welcome to the podcast, or Toddcast, guys. Another early one. You know, we warned you last week because we have karaoke tonight, and
yes.
I have a bunch of other stuff that I still have to take care of. I was up early for blood work and took a nap, and then I'm still trying to catch up, and I got to be ready for tonight to be there from 7 to 10 at Dave & Buster's at the waterfront. It's going to be a fun time. So, obviously, we're going to talk about the Boys finale. We'll do that after we talk comics, though, because then you can pause for spoiler. It'll be good.
Yeah.
So now that I'm out of everything to watch, I started rewatching the Battlestar Galactica from the 2004. The one that was on
Sci-Fi. Okay, so the Sci-Fi era. Sci-Fi Network era.
Yeah.
Basically.
The better one. Let's be fair. Yeah. The better one. Considering it went more than one season.
Yeah. Which for Sci-Fi Network is kind of miraculous, to be fair. Yeah.
Well, no, I meant the original only went one season. Now, most sci-fi shows went three or four seasons, from what I remember. Because, like, Eureka and Warehouse 13, Sirens, or some of the other
ones. There were a few that I remember. There were a few of those that I remember that were, the concept was awesome, but they just didn't make it past that first season because they weren't getting the ratings or whatever. I don't know what sci-fi metrics were for their for their network. You know, it was weird sometimes. Kind of similar to the way Netflix does, where it's like, oh, we have this really good show. Okay, let's cancel it. You know, they were kind of doing the Netflix crap before Netflix established itself.
I don't know. There's something to be said of, you know, like doing three or four seasons and calling it good. And then there's, you know, doing 8 to 12 seasons and it just kind of being not as good the rest of the time. So I understand both sides of that equation. As a fan of a show that's been going on for 24 seasons, Grey's Anatomy, it's definitely been a lot. And you know, there were some of those seasons, but some of those seasons are not great. But most of them are very good.
And also, the length of seasons has changed. Remember, like, seasons used to be, 30-plus episodes?
No, they were always, 22 to 25 was always the average.
I remember the older shows being in their 30s.
Hold on. If the show is an hour long, it's usually 20 to 30 episodes a season. If it's a half hour long, then you get more. Yeah. You get up to 50 in a season. So, but I think it's the amount of time, actually.
And nowadays, you're lucky to get a season that's 10 episodes.
Yeah. 10 to 12 has become the new. Eight to twelve is the new norm on streaming, and I don't know why that is.
I think it has something to do with the Writers Association and everything too, the new contract. I don't know. Yeah, I don't know anybody in Hollywood
Well,
Yeah.
so British
But
TV
that's been since the
actually,
last.
yeah, but British TV is actually a lot like this, where they only do like 8 to 10 or 8 to 12 episodes a lot, or sometimes a season's only 5 episodes. If you remember Black Mirror, the first 3 seasons are 5 or 6 episodes long, and that's because they were
Yeah.
a British
Yeah.
TV show to
I
begin
thought
with.
that was just a Netflix. Okay, I thought that was a Netflix thing.
No,
I
Netflix
did
bought
not
them
know that Black
after
Mirror
season
was made.
3, and then they did
Okay.
the one the Bandersnatch movie to kind of bridge that gap, and then they did the I think they did a 12 episode season for the first season in America, and then all the ones after that I think have been 8. So, actually
Yeah.
no, I think the last one was only 4 or 5. So,
Yeah.
and that's been a couple years, but. Anyway, Netflix, get on your shit. We missed some Black Mirror. What's more Black Mirror in my life? That show's too good. So good.
I also need another episode of was it Death, Love, and Robots too. I love that too.
Oh yeah, that was good.
But they yeah. Oh, I love the rope the, any of the episodes with the talking robots
Yeah.
where they're sitting there talking about all the stuff like I just remember very first episode where they're talking about was it the one of them's ancestor with the PlayStation or some shit like that? Because
Yeah.
they trace their lineage by hard drives and everything, and it's hilarious. I think that episode ended with them like being overrun with cats or something. Or
Yeah.
was that later in
Maybe,
that season or something?
I don't, you know what? It's been so long since I've watched that I don't remember.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. But I do remember the cats going, "We may blow up if you stop petting us, but you'll never know."
Pause. Are you drinking a Königsberg Mount or root beer right now?
No, I'm not.
Oh, it totally looked like it from the what little I saw of the can.
It is root beer. It's root beer flavored
So, just
energy
so you
drink.
guys
It's
know,
actually really
you can go to our
good.
Mills location and get a can of Königsberg root beer. And
Should I go
it's
get it
very
while
good. I tried one. It was really good.
good.
Yeah. So,
It's currently in the fridge right now. It's at the Mills, so.
yeah. Well, I put two 6-packs in there yesterday. So, but no, that's really good. Also, what's cool is Königsberg hot sauce. It's Edge. It's the Edge hot sauce. So when I picked up the cans, I also bought a bottle off of Marvin, and so I made chicken nuggets that night, and I just dipped a little bit on each nugget as I ate it, and man, was it good. It wasn't like super crazy overpowered. It wasn't anything like that. It was just really good in general. Like it just was good. So
That sounds
but
good.
I really liked it. So. Yeah.
I'm sure that'll all be on sale at our show in what, 2.5 weeks. So
No, because I told them like you can't do that without paying the extra fee for the catering people. So they most likely will not be able to do that. I'm like, now I don't know if you can just give it away. But
is hot sauce really considered food, or is that like kind of a,
I
is
consider it
that
a
gray
condiment,
area where
but
that could be a loophole type
I think
thing?
that might be a loophole. The root beer for sure, though, they wouldn't be able to do that.
Oh
So,
yeah.
yeah. So anyway, later today I should be putting up the final map. I have a couple changes I have to make already. Some people got back to me and I've missed notes like, "Hey, I want to be by this person," and I'm like, "Crap." So I have to do that. I just gotta swap some people. It's not a big deal. And then, yeah, that's I think it. Like other than that, like panels, the panel schedule should be up sometime tomorrow afternoon. We have some really awesome panels this year. We have a Godzilla panel with Tom Scioli. We have Star Wars comics panel with Ron Frenz, Pat Olef, Wayne Foucher, Matt Horak, and Howard Bender. So you're getting it from the almost the entirety of itself. We're doing a panel called Reinventing the Wheel, which is when you take a legacy character like Ghost Rider and have to make a new version of him, like Danny Ketch. So Howard Mackey's going to be on that with Ron Frenz. Ron Frenz was, famously there for Thunderstrike, who replaced Thor, and also Red and Blue Superman. Like, he was one of the guys that worked on that. The Last Comic Shop's going to be doing an episode from there, a panel from there, and there's more too. There's going to be a 60th anniversary of Star Trek slash Trek Tech discussion as a panel. So we're going to talk about how Star Trek, like the 60 years of Star Trek, and how it goes with Gene Roddenberry's vision of what happened and where we are compared to that, and how they keep it moving, and also how tech in Star Trek is now stuff we use today. Like tricorders are basically, not only are they like cell phones, but they're also like a ultrasound. A tricorder is basically an ultrasound. A tricorder is also an X-ray machine. A tricorder is all kinds of stuff. It's crazy. There's a lot of stuff. And the there's a couple more, but the other one that I want to mention that's kind of ridiculous and kind of fun at the same time, and I'm curious to see how this is going to pan out. But our fearless leader, Todd McDevitt, is doing a Q&A about the 40 years of New Dimension Comics and how he has kept the business alive for 40 years. So if you want to hear crazy stories about the company and things like that, he was open for a Q&A about that. He then went, "Let me know what it is. I might ask some friends to join." And I'm just like, "Are you gonna ask like other vendors who are there to join and just like basically roast yourself? Because that would be hell. I'm coming. I'm coming for this. Like, I'm there. I'm sitting on the panel."
Well, I'm gonna say spoiler for that for you guys that don't know here. Basically, since he hired you, John, is basically the extension of why he stayed in business as long as he has.
Well,
So.
I think I just happen to be the right guy at the right time. I'm very lucky to be where I am and what I do, and
I think we
I think
all are.
that I think yeah, thank you. I think that we would not have gotten through the pandemic the way we did, if I wasn't here. And I like to think that I have helped rebuild a bunch of bridges between us and all the stores in the area and all the other shows in the area. And I really feel like blessed to be part of that, and I appreciate that. So, as kind of the other face of NDC, I appreciate that. And I appreciate all you guys that support us and stuff. So, what's up, Grant? I see you in the chat. And he asked, "Is this a special episode?" And I said, "No, it's not a special episode. It's
No,
just a
that would have
monthly
been two
episode."
episodes ago.
Yeah, it's yeah.
That would have been
I
two
mean,
episodes ago when
next,
we were talking about the logistics of setting up a comic show.
yeah. And next week is actually our Comicsburg invasion again. They like to come on one last time right before the show every year. And we just have a bunch of Pittsburgh guys hanging out, and I love it.
Complaining, moaning, and groaning.
God, I'm gonna be so sore by then. And then the week after that's gonna be worse, but it'll be fine. So, but yeah.
So say, I'm sore now. I don't know about you, but I'm sore now.
Fair enough.
But then again, I actually had to move a couch yesterday.
Fair enough.
So Actually, two couches.
I've only,
That
I'll be honest, I'm
seems
only
pretty good.
sore because I started this workout regimen, and it's a lot of
Oh.
like, it's a lot of push-ups and mountain climber and lunging and it's like scissor kick kind of thing. It's a lot of stuff that deals with your own body weight, so you don't have to like use weights and stuff. It's very like it's like military Tai Chi, I guess is kind of what they call it.
Okay.
So
Okay.
yeah, so I'm working on it. I'm working on it. I'm getting there. I haven't been able to do the whole thing the whole way through because I'm like, holy shit, I'm way out of shape. But that's the point. You're supposed to
Yeah,
get into it
get you back
and
into
work
shape.
your well, yeah, work yourself in. So my shoulders have been pretty sore. My legs were a little bit rough there for a minute, but I've started to try to walk again a little more now that it's nicer out. So we'll see how that goes. But anyway, we're gonna now talk about comic books. All right, I'm going first. All right. So my first book is Absolute Green Arrow. Number one. So I went into this book thinking, okay, like he looks kind of like he's almost like Death Clock or not Death Clock, Death Lock. But Ollie. And this book is basically way Ollie's barely in the book, right? So it starts out with Jubal Slade getting all of his people killed by the Green Arrow. All the arrows are poisoned, and he ends up getting his eyes cut out and his fingers cut off and his member dismembered because you find out later that Jubal Slade was a pedophile and a rapist. So anyway, they talk about so Oliver and he started a company with Oliver Queen. Oliver Queen's company was the Green Arrow stock trading app that didn't charge you anything, or it only charged you like super minimum. It's almost like Robinhood, right? Both like the actual Robinhood and the actual app Robinhood that is for people stock trading. But then most of this book actually is about Dinah Lance, who we've come to find out is an ex-cop, ex-MMA fighter, and is now like working in private detail security. And she ends up getting hired by the Malcolm Merlyn. And Malcolm Merlyn works with Hector Hammond. Her and Ollie did date at one point back before he became huge. And then he was killed, apparently. So once he was killed, like she took a little more interest in it. So she ends up seeing the photos of Slade being killed and the three people that are the top suspects are Roy Harper, Mia Dearden, and Tom Halloway. Imagine that. Because there are other archers. So Hammond wants to get into or Hammond basically blackmails her into being on the team. And he goes looking for the Arrow Cave and they get attacked. A lot of shit blows up. The Green Arrow that's there basically like ninja kills almost everybody except for Dinah and cuts off Hammond's arm. Or it might have been Merlin's arm. And oh, it was Hammond. Cuts off Hammond's hand, and her and Merlin go in and find the Arrow Cave. And inside the Arrow Cave, they find this kid who has eyes everywhere all over him, and that's how it ends. So it's definitely a weird book, weird and interesting. I definitely liked it, but I don't know that I'm gonna keep reading it because I really wanted it to be more about Ollie and not about Dinah. So, it's definitely a good book to read and check out. So, I'm gonna give this Iron Maiden's Fear of the Dark because this Green Arrow was killing everybody in the dark and it was crazy. Oh, hold on. Grant has a couple things in the chat. He said, we got a shout out on Jim Rugg's show yesterday. He said, I can't go to Three Rivers, but you all should. I really appreciate that.
There you
Thanks
go.
for letting us go, Grant. That's awesome.
Yeah.
And then he says, have there been any Absolute Comics that weren't great? I mean, there are definitely some that are better than others, but I don't think there were any that were bad. Like that's kind of like
I think if you're going to go like hierarchy, like fandom wise, like it seems to be Wonder Woman seems to be the one that I think most people agree is well written and people enjoy the art. I think it would be like Superman is kind of two, Batman is three, which I don't agree with that, but I think even with the hype and everything, I think compared to Superman and Wonder Woman's stories thus far, like all three, I would say the trinity is like
Trinity.
the top three at books. Yeah.
I
Like
agree. I don't necessarily know
the
that.
Flash one is kind of
I think the original three, so Batman, Superman, Wonder Woman are probably the top just because people love them, right? And then the next wave is probably everything else is kind of next wave at that point, right? Because it's Green Lantern, Martian Manhunter, Flash, this book. We're gonna get a Catwoman book, from what I understand. So like a one, it might be a one shot though. But I don't think any of them are bad. It's a different take, right? Like I love the Wonder
Everything is
Woman book.
different today.
I love the Wonder Woman book, but I can't deal. I don't like the art in Batman and Martian Manhunter. So I'd probably put it for me. It's like Wonder Woman, Green Lantern, Flash. So, like everything else is kind of next tier at that point. So, but that's a great
We
question.
all have our
So.
personal preferences. Yeah, it's all a personal preference, but as far as I know, I have not heard anyone going, oh, these absolute books are garbage. Like, I don't think I've ever heard anyone say that.
Yeah, I
I'm
mean,
sure there have,
I think
but
the writing
most.
in all of them, I think the writing in all of them is amazing. Is really
Yeah,
good.
because it's, you're
It's
getting
just
the top writers in the industry writing these stories, so that most of them are
It's just the
written
art.
very well.
The art is hit or miss for me, but that's just me. But I know other people who love Martian Manhunter's art and love Batman's art. I'm just not that guy. So,
But it's like I'm a fan of the Absolute Batman, but I agree with you. Like the art's not my preferred taste, but I also understand that a lot of the traditional comic look is no longer traditional anymore. It's gotten towards the more anime side a little bit, where you're going to see certain aspects of manga kind of slowly intertwine with comics, American comics. And there's nothing wrong with that. I think there's room for both. And I don't mind them each taking it out of each one. Like there were American comics influencing manga for years before the slow turnaround of it kind of doing it now.
Yeah, I mean, we saw a lot of it in the 2000s when we had like the Ultimate Universe. So, and this is kind of DC's Ultimate Universe. So yeah, I like I said, I would recommend picking it up. Like, I'm not gonna shit on it. It's definitely a good book. I just wanted a little more Oliver Queen in it. That's all. But
And it's a,
I think it'll be
It's
good.
only
Like,
issue one.
yeah, exactly. I usually give a book 2 or 3 issues before I make a final judgment on it. So, all right. Your book.
All right, we got Darkness number 5. This kind of st it starts out with Jenny finding like the Brotherhood. Like she stumbles onto it, and there she just sees like this giant orgy happening in the Brotherhood headquarters. And of course, she's shocked, saying, "Hey, what the heck is this, that, and the other?" And here comes what's his name? I'm sorry, I forget his name. It's been a while since I've read The Darkness. It's been too long. But Jackie is in a foul mood, and he just kind of starts like beating up some of these celebrities and judges and stuff a little bit, telling them to stay away from Jenny, because how dare he like get her involved in this? Oh, so in time. Sorry. There you go. And basically slugs him and leaves. He's trying to protect her from all the stuff going on. He's still hiding like the whole darkness, him, the fact he has like the demons and everything talking to him. But he's going around and he starts taking out some of the major celebrities and judges and influential people through various means. It gets pretty gory in here. And then as he's doing that, the Angelus is just kind of they're watching and waiting and seeing what's going on, like how this is going to play out. And then they're probably going to deal with him at the end. But basically, all these guys are calling, him going, "Hey, protect us from the Lord," because they're still trying to be part of the Brotherhood and they still treat him as the Lord. But he's like, "Yeah," he's like, "I'm afraid that, you are not needed." And even Sonantine is kind of just throwing, these targeted people to the wolves. Like he's just like he's talking to a congressman here and he's just like, "Hey, protect me from him," and Kona's and Sonatine is basically, "Yeah, well, you're kind of on your own. Sacrifices must be made." And it Jackie pretty much just kind of takes care of them. And I think the whole thing is Sonnenstein wants to claim the darkness as his birthright. So basically, he's kind of the now what's his name from Witchblade?
What the hell is his name?
I forget, but he's kind of like him.
Yeah. I know
He
what you're saying.
he's the darkness's version of him, where he's like, "I want to tutelage your power, but in secret, I want your power." So,
Yeah,
which is
right.
fine. It's well written. The art is beautiful as always because it's Mark Silvestri. I don't think I can ever not get tired of his art in the darkness. I'm gonna go with "Eat the Rich" by Aerosmith. How about that?
Nice. Nice.
I figure that qualifies with him like killing a bunch of judges and congressmen. So I was like, yeah, that fits. That works. But it's I'm enjoying this run of the darkness, really, though. I
Yeah.
can't wait till this comes out on a compendium and I can buy the giant book.
Yeah, I'm very excited to read that. I actually missed it when I pulled my stuff out at the mills. I had to buy it, and then I missed it again at Ohio when I was there yesterday. So I had to have Cranberry set it aside. So I'll pick it up tomorrow. So
Yeah,
I don't.
I grabbed the last issue actually that we have in
You
our store. So
bastard.
it's doing quite well.
So.
Well, I'm gonna put it back. I'm not buying it, but I
Okay.
had to grab it so I could read it for the podcast here, so
Fair enough. All right, my next book is from Pete Tomasi and Francis Manapul. It's The Rockefellers number 0. This is the Unbelievables prelude. So the Unbelievables are going to be kind of, I believe, like almost like the Avengers of this universe, of the Ghost Machine universe. So in the last story, the dad and mom went missing at the end. So now, the son is basically looking for them to try to get things back to where they need to be, or at least the dad is missing, not the mom. So the son's trying to find where and when the dad is, and then most of this book is just a recap of the very first issue, like how they got there, and like how they adjusted. Like it shows the grandfather going and buying like a VW bus to put them all in, and like it's really funny because he's just like, wow, a V8 5.2 liter combustion engine. He's like, yeah, you like that? He's like, yeah, I saw it in a museum once. And he's like, are you working on a stand-up routine? So it's very interesting, like how they did that. So and then they like take on a bunch of people that the shady salesman sent out to them in the woods to rob them, basically. Then they buy a house, they move in, and how they kind of acclimate to things. So it's very it's kind of a sort of a prelude, but also a bit of a recap thing. And it also has the very first appearance of the billion or the $1 trillion kid in it.
$1 trillion
The
kid.
$1 trillion kid.
He doesn't look like Elon Musk, does he?
No, he's an actual kid. This is
Okay.
more like Richie Rich meets Prez. That's kind of how his character's going to be. But it's
Oh,
only him
okay.
at like a very
Okay.
last panel. It's actually pretty cool. So
I was going to
anyway.
say, Prez. Wow, that's a throwback. Damn.
Right. So anyway, it's very good. I've always loved Tomasi's stuff, and we're actually getting some signed I don't think they're plates, but they're some kind of signed Pete Tomasi things for the trade that's coming out of the first book. I was contacted by Ghost Machines marketing person, and she said, how many do you want? And I said, send me 20. And I'm like, cool. So they're coming. I'm very excited about it. I think this book is really good. And if you guys don't know who the Rockefellers are in general, like they're a family from the future that's kind of a bunch of geniuses. So it's sort of like a Fantastic Four vibe, but they're stuck in the now. So it's quite the fun book. I really enjoy the book in general. It's a family-friendly adventure. So, oh man, this is a hard one. I think I'm gonna, man. Oh man. I'm gonna go with Metallica's Through the Never for this.
Ah,
Because,
nice.
traveling through time and stuff, dealing with that, I think it's kind of fitting, so.
All right, we're good. X-Men United number 3. Now I'm a little off because I think I missed issue 2. There it Cap it asks the X-Men for help with an aging super soldier here that are they're split up in a temporal phase right now, and they're trying to fight this guy, and you think he is I'm trying to remember who they think. I think they mistake him as well, Cap mistakes him as Maurice Canfield, who if you guys remember is the African American super soldier that was taking place, but that's not where the who this guy is. He is you find out he is a his son or his kid cousin or something. It's I'm trying to remember, like I breezed through this a little bit, so it was his dad. It's a lot of flashback about this guy's background. The typical stereotypical white people treating African Americans as garbage for the time, including having his house set ablaze, killing his father with a bunch of men in white robes, per usual. He gets sent away to Philadelphia, where he grew up as a relatively normal kid, taken in by a black family. They do j him and the brother, well, the kid that he grew up with the rest of the way, who he treated as a brother, were tested on the Captain America sign up. And he realizes that not only did he take the super soldier serum, but he was a mutant as well. So his mutant ability looks like he could turn his appendages to stone.
Oh.
Kind of very similar to a Colossus type deal. Like, but it's only like bits and pieces. He doesn't turn himself into complete stone.
Right.
But it talks about him escaping. And then him just kind of want to be alone and just left alone. And of course, it's a lot of back and forth between him and Cap, because even though it's not Cap's fault, it is the government that's doing the experiment, fix it as Cap tends to do. He wants to deal with this. But they find out they kind of work everything out. Eventually, they end up setting up a. They find out that this he is very rich, even though he lived in a simple cabin in the woods. But he accumulated so much wealth, he started his own scholarship.
Yeah.
And basically, it's Steve Rogers thanking Kitty and Emma Frost for their help with dealing with the situation, and that's basically the end of this. It was okay. I'm still not really getting into this X-Men United. I don't know. Maybe we need a really good bad guy in here. I don't know. It seems like it's a lot of cleanup and everything from Krakoa. But let me see if I can find this here. Oh, here we go. Here we go. We're gonna go with some Anthrax here. We're gonna do Indians by Anthrax, I think. Because I feel like that's basically what most of this episode was, kind of getting back to the roots of the X-Men, of dealing with racism and how to deal with it in the current era.
By the way, if you guys have not listened to the new Anthrax single, it's for the kids. You really need to. It's really good. So, all right.
Yeah,
My
you sent me it, and it was quite good. So,
All right, my last book is called The Seven Wives. This book is by Zoe Tunnell, with artwork by V. Gagnon, inks by Maria Keenan. And the cover is DeBalfo. So, or no, not DeBalfo. I can't think of her name. The one who did Sweet Paprika. Anyway, you know what I'm talking about. This book starts out with a preacher getting killed at the pulpit, and you find out that he was a spiritual leader in the LDS Church, which, for those of you who don't know what the FLDS is, it is the Latter-day Saints Fundamentalist Latter-day Saints, which is not the same as being a regular Mormon. A fundamentalist is like one of the ones that are basically like, the Bible is law and this is how we deal with it, and it's everything is exactly that. Guy dies. They bring the cops in. The cops are not from that community, although the one detective does kind of understand it. So they start interviewing all seven of his wives, and you start to get a glimpse into some of them. And it's actually very, very interesting, because like, the guy was beating all of his wives, and he was a very big douchebag, but they didn't do anything about it because they were, his wives. So as they continued to live that life, there was apparently a lot of infighting with them, and the guy's son with one of the wives is now kind of trying to figure out how to deal with all of this, and what to do with his family, because he's now going to be the spiritual leader of the family. And you then find out that the wives they did talk to are just kind of like the grumpy older ones, and the son follows at night w the two youngest wives out. You find that one finds the murder weapon and takes it with her out to the woods, and meets with the other wife. And mind you, the son is watching this whole thing, and you find out that they are actually in love with each other. And that's how it ends. So it's all kinds of things that the fundamentalists are going to be against, because of the lesbianism, because of the murder, all kinds of stuff. So it's all over the place, in the terms of the one of the weirdest. I feel like this is like an AMC TV show murder special. or like an A&E murder special thing, like with fundamentalists. And I've watched quite a few documentaries on the fundamentalists, and it's definitely not good. Like, they're the kind of guys that take the 12-year-old wife and stuff, and it's not okay. I'm going to, oh man, hold on. I gotta actually look up this one because I want to make sure I get the right count. I'm calling that I'm using Disturbed's 10,000 Fists for this one. Because the two girls stabbed him seven times for all seven wives. And I don't know if all the wives
Oh.
are in on it or if it's just the two, but currently it looks like it's just the one wife stabbed him 49 times. So, but it's pretty good.
All right, we got the Wolverine Weapons of Armageddon, issue 4. This is the final issue of the series, so incredibly short. We get a flashback what the what's his name? I forget this character. That's with all these new characters, I can't remember their names. But the other Captain America, the redhead from the in this series, he's basically getting chewed out because he took out a bunch of Latverians, and Cap had to clean up after him, and the army just basically disowns him. And then we fast forward to Newt getting told to take care of Logan and this version of Cap. Meanwhile, Colton, that's his name. Okay. Colton and Logan are taking on these new clones that are based off of Nuke. So again, we got more Weapon X type things going on. Nuke comes in and sees these new guys, and he's ticked off because they're trying to replace him. The kid who they've been trying to save this whole time finally comes in, and the head of this version of weapons basically tries to get him to open this box, this device, which has apparently like temporal a multiversal energy. So this comes from another universe. And basically Wolverine kind of talks to the kid going, look, your mutancy isn't something to get rid of. And Logan's like, I can help you kind of control things. Tyler wants to kill the head of this guy because he basically imbued him with all the adamantium, and the kid doesn't kill him, but Nuke does. And as soon as he does that, all the these clone nukes come after all of them. Nuke blows them up, some of them up with a grenade. Wolverine takes care of a few of them. Colton takes a good shot to the chest. And then we get another flashback of him actually talking to Steve Rogers. And him basically telling Steve, he's like, I just wanted to be like you. And Steve's like, look, he's like, I'm not one to judge. He's like, we've all done stuff as soldiers that we're not proud of. He's like, but all you can do is learn from your mistakes and move forward. And just before Colton passes away, Wolverine opens the box. And apparently, this box actually saves Colton. Because Wolverine and Ty or Logan and Tyler come to visit him as he's rebuilding his cabin. And I guess he flies now and has powers now because he's flying as he's building his house. Meanwhile, the one professor that started this whole shebang with Nuke and cloning and everything, he's hiding out in Mexico. And here comes Nuke going, I'm pulling your funding, and pretty much takes care of him. And Nuke's like, I just want a fresh start. And that is the end of this book. So it's kind of interesting, although it does say that this will be the start of a new team, apparently. That would be interesting if it's Nuke, Colton, Cap, and Logan and Tyler. That'd be an interesting group to read about. This was a fun little book. I always enjoy any of the Weapon X type stuff. They're always interesting stories, and this is a well-written book. I'm going to give it Like a Knife in the Back by Twisted Sister, because I sure like that. With all the blades and everybody having sharp implements, I feel like that fits that perfectly. And we haven't done Twisted Sister yet, and I feel like they deserve at least one song in our rating system here.
No, I agree. So, sorry, I'm answering
And that's
questions for
when
my
I
voice.
actually had to look. I actually had to look up like metal songs dealing with knives, and that one stuck out to me. So,
Oh man. All right. So now it's time we're gonna talk about the boys' finale. So, remember, if you're in Pittsburgh tonight and you wanna come down to
Steelers, Steelers, Steelers.
cosplay karaoke tonight, Dave and Buster, 7 o'clock. $5 to watch, $5 per song after that to sing. And don't forget, Three Rivers Comic Con. First weekend of June, June 6th and 7th, down at the convention center. It's going to be a blast. I'm telling you, man, it's going to be great. Very excited to go. Yeah, all right. So we're gonna kick into spoilers now. So now is your time to pause it, mark the time, so you can come back and finish it later after you've watched it, or you can just get spoiled and everything's good. But here we go.
Although it's
So.
hard to imagine because all the spoilers on YouTube, like across the board for this final episode, was like it was hard to avoid.
Oh yeah,
So.
Twitter was blowing up with them yesterday afternoon, and I'm like, all right, I just gotta watch this. So,
Yeah.
I'm like, I don't know why things aren't sacred anymore. Like, give people like a couple days, at least like 72 hours, right? Give them like 72 hours to just go see it and have some fun. Easy. So, anyway, shit. So, the things I found priceless were, I found the Deep's death was awesome. and well done. And
Yeah.
I
I think that
thought it
was
was
the one that
good.
was like,
I thought it was good that it was Starlight that did that.
yeah.
So I thought that
The
was,
full circle.
yeah.
Yeah.
That was very fitting for that. Actually, I thought his death would have been a little more gruesome, but it was actually kind of fast for that. But it
Yeah.
was fitting. But it was fitting.
Yeah.
And I'll be honest, the thing that hit me the most in the episode was actually the death of Terror, more than the death of Homelander or Billy Butcher. The Terror, when he walks in there and just finds Terror laying on his bed dead, I was like, oh, buddy, oh no, like that one hurt a lot. So, yeah, it's definitely a problem.
I think there were a lot of like justifiable like deaths in this episode. Like it's everybody we wanted gone was pretty much taken care of. Exceptions. I would have liked to seen Stan Edgar get his upcomings. Maybe that'll be in one of the spin-offs where he gets it. Lord knows. You got to see the remnants of the new blood, the new guys,
Gen
the
B.
new kids, I should say. Yeah, Gen V, rescuing the civilians, heading to Canada, which, that's a, they it's a shame that they canceled the that series that I think they
No, it's
missed an
good.
opportunity
It's good.
there.
I agree.
I think the only thing that really was left wide open was like, what happened to Soldier Boy?
Oh, he's just in cryo.
He's still stuck
Frozen's
with
in cryo.
ice. Yeah.
Yeah, but they're gonna go, we're getting this
Yeah.
whole prequel series now. So
Yeah. Yeah.
we're gonna see
Yeah.
him in the
Maybe
past.
that'll tie in.
I'm hoping that
Yeah,
it's
maybe
like
he'll do a turn.
what I'm really hoping is that it's actually like him remembering stuff while he's in cryo. So it's like ties the two together a little more. So I
That
don't
would be
know.
excellent writing,
Yeah.
especially from his point of view, would be interesting.
Yeah.
I like the fact that Ryan stepped up.
I
I
agree.
think we kind of knew it was going to be like we got the butcher like and taking out Homelander. I didn't think that could have ended any other way.
Yeah.
I think it's funny he actually got taken out pretty much the way the comic book kind
Yeah.
of gave it out, like how he took care of him. So with the crowbar, I was like, ooh,
Yeah.
the crowbar. I'm like, ooh,
Yeah, when I saw
ooh. I
the
was like,
crowbar, I was like, oh shit, they're gonna do it. And then they did. So, but
yeah.
I thought, the only thing that I thought was interesting was that they obviously had to play around with some stuff because they added things that weren't in the books and they changed some stuff from the comics. But overall, I thought it was
Yeah.
a very good finale. I thought it felt kindred to the finale
Complete.
in the books. And I really thought that they wrapped it up well. Wrapped it up fairly well. Like I thought like the little
I'm
the
glad.
outro homage of where everybody is was good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I like the fact that was it, we got the MM got a happy ending,
Yeah.
because I feel like that character needed something better than what he'd got in the comic books. I liked the Kimiko got her, I don't want to say happy ending, but a content ending.
I'll take that.
Like she's obviously not happy
Right.
because Frenchie's not there, but is she all she's not suffering, and she's not dead, so you know she's just living life. And I think that's all she ever wanted. Like that's kind of the whole point of the last couple of seasons is she just wanted to be normal.
Yep.
And I'm glad we got that. We got the happy ending between
Huey and
Starlight
Starlight.
and
Huey and Starlight.
I figured they were going to do that. I did not think they were going to make her pregnant with his kid. That was a neat little twist there.
And I thought it was interesting that they named the baby after the girlfriend who died in the first episode.
Oh, in front of the store that he died
Yeah.
in too. Like he now owns that store. He owns that electric store, which is great. I like that little wrap up that makes it nice.
Yeah, I thought that was good.
There were a lot of positives in it. I feel like they kind of rushed it. I think they could have added two more episodes, elongated it a little bit, flushed some stuff out a little bit more. But for the eight episodes that they did put out for this season, you really couldn't complain. You got everything we were kind of asking and hoping for, you know? Oh, I did enjoy the death of the preacher.
That was
That
good.
was hilarious. I was like, oh, that was great.
That was so like there was a couple small parts that I felt were a little rushed. Like I think they could have done two more episodes in the season and made things a little like not as some things felt a little rushed toward the end there. Like his death felt a little rushed, right? Like I
Because
think
he
there were
was
just a
such a
couple of those
minor
small things.
character.
Yeah, I don't know. Like,
Like
I think it was
he
fine.
literally
It was
didn't
great.
appear until what? Just
Right. I just
like
felt like it.
it's
Yeah, I just felt that it could have been slightly. They could have added two more episodes and fleshed out some of those deaths a little bit better. But
yeah. I'm
overall, I thought it was good.
surprised they did not get a queen. We didn't get a Queen Maeve appearance, which I would have thought they would have made her in there, like something, help somehow. And really didn't. I was a little shocked that they didn't get her involved in that last part. But hey, it's overall you couldn't complain. We saw some awesome, gruesome deaths, like we expected from the boys. I think everything ended the way it was supposed to.
Right.
Yeah.
Cool.
So.
All right. Well, that's pretty much all the show we got tonight, guys. Make sure you shop your local comic shop, and if it's us, even cooler. But support your local shops. We all need it, every single one of us. So, we will talk to everybody next week, and then we'll hopefully see everybody at Three Rivers Comic Con on the 6th and 7th of June. Have a good night.
Yes.